Julian Assange will die if he loses his appeal for extradition this week and is sent to the United States. That's what his wife and lawyer, Stella Assange, said about the appeal that starts this week.
The situation right now with Julian is so critical, he could be bundled into a plane within days of the decision. The decision could come down this very week. Once he's in U.S. custody, he's going to be put in the deepest, darkest hole in the U.S. prison system, and it will be much harder for him to be freed. He cannot survive more time in prison. He needs to be released, and I think we've heard enough is enough for 3 years now. Let's be clear, Julian needs to be released from prison, and he needs to be released now.
What this is the right for a full appeal. If he's denied, he could be on a plane to the United States within days. If it is granted, they will presumably send him back to prison, and he will wait out another right for a full appeal within 8 to 10 months. Neil Oliver joins me to discuss this. He's a historian and author, and he speaks loud and proud on GB News about the anti-war movement for which Julian Assange is being punished. I'm so glad to speak to you for many reasons. One, I'm a big fan of your work. Also, because your country is holding the football, so to speak, on the Assange case, my country is sort of the shark with its mouth open. So what do you make of the Assange case, and what do you think it means for all of us?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm delighted to have some time with you. I'm horrified by the Julian Assange story. It's been a shaming period of time, all the way from that time in the Ecuadorian embassy, and then the time in Belmarsh, and the fact that he's being so relentlessly pursued for extradition is just. It's shaming and shameful, and it is continually thrown into sharp relief, I think, by the hypocrisy elsewhere, and as has happened again with all of the excitement and all of the condemnation that's coming from the West around Navalny's death in prison, and people talking about how terrible it is when opposition is held in prison and when attempts are made to crush opposition and so on and so on. When always looming there, like our conscience laid bare and made real, is Julian Assange, who has been so abused and so mistreated for essentially publishing true facts. And revealing truths that are inconvenient to the US, to the West. And he's looming like that, as I say, like a manifestation of our guilty conscience, that he is being treated in the way that he has been treated. I'm appalled. And, I hold my hands up and say that I know that I haven't done enough. I haven't said enough and done enough and been strident enough in protest about what has happened to him and what continues to happen to him, and the fact that he's now reaching another of these moments in his life where, as you say, it's probably life or death, is frightening.
But this is not conspiracy theory, people who speak out for Julian Assange. I've never seen somebody say, oh, you're a right-wing extremist because you speak for Julian Assange. It's almost incontrovertible to speak for this man. What do you think the British people think about what this says about the UK doing the bidding of the US? Because that seems clear to me. Is it clear to your kinsmen?
Well, obviously there are factions and there are different groups within the UK. You know, it's not as though there's a British opinion or a British voice, but I can confidently say that there are millions of people who are either quietly appalled by what has happened to Julian Assange, and fewer people, I suppose, within those ranks that are loudly, outspokenly appalled by what's happening to Julian Assange. I think it's always when you've followed a story for such a long time, it always comes as a jolt when you realise that there are still, however, people who are only vaguely aware of what's going on. That almost sounds inconceivable, but it's still the case. Although it has so much of it has played out here, and he's in prison in London, there are still many people that aren't really across what has happened to him. But there is a growing, a steadily growing portion of the population that are aware that we in the UK, we in Britain, have been a lapdog of the United States for a very long time. There used to be talk of the special relationship, but maybe at one point, when I was a child or earlier, maybe there was a special relationship or a relationship that could be classed as special and that it was some kind of mutually respecting. But I think increasingly there are many people here in Great Britain that accept that we are just doing the bidding of. And I'm not sure how full-throated the defence of Julian Assange is when it comes to, you know, the establishment here. And I have I don't know what you think, but I have a very bad feeling about what events might play out in the next short period of time.
Yes. So I'm trying to read the tea leaves. I came across this tweet today where someone said, well, if Rishi Sunak had the balls to let Julian Assange go, his ratings would jump massively. Rishi Sunak could use a ratings boost. Do you think that there are politicians in the UK who may play it thus? And is there an advantage to doing that?
Well, that's definitely, it would be definitely true to say that Rishi Sunak needs all the positive press he can garner, and he needs popular support. Maybe, I mean, we're all very dubious about exactly what the support of the press actually means nowadays, but I think he would garner popular support by doing the right thing by Julian Assange. And I accept that it's possible, but I'll be very impressed if Rishi Sunak is prepared to be seen to fly in the face of the United States of America and do that right thing and do right by Julian Assange.
Right. I mean, the judge could presumably say, okay, you are going to get another appeal. And in the meantime, there is no reason for you to be in prison during that appeal. We will put you on house arrest and you can be with your children. That's a possibility. I'm putting that, I don't know, I guess we could play odds if you want to play a little game. Jack can play with us. I'm going to put that at 45%. Do you want to ring in?
It's so difficult to read it because part of what has happened to me during the last 3 or 4 years is I used to be much more confident about my ability to read situations than I am now. I have been so surprised, so shocked, so knocked sideways by a world turned upside down and inside out that if I'd been asked to read the tea leaves or make predictions about a story like this 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have had the gall and the temerity to be confident about making a prediction. Now nothing would surprise me.
Right.
I simply would not be surprised by anything that happens because my experience over this period has just undermined my confidence in my own abilities to call what I think is going to happen next. I've been surprised and let down and shocked so many times over the last 4 years that has become what I expect. So although it's possible, obviously there's everything to play for, anything might happen in the Assange story, but I do not have the confidence anymore to make predictions.
Well, one of the things that you talk about a lot is the freedom to discuss things that are anti-narrative. And the way that we are shut down from discussing these things is through the label of conspiracy theorist. In January, you had I want to say this video went quite viral for talking about conspiracy theorists. It was brilliant. I'm going to play a little clip.
To be a conspiracy theorist is to have been right all along, despite the efforts of the paid-for liars. And it's also to be demonstrably well ahead of the gullible, still believing in smoke and mirrors. Conspiracy theorist was first used by the CIA to shut down those who doubted the official line about the murder of John F. Kennedy, that fishy old tale about a lone shooter and a magic bullet, and then that lone shooter being shot by another lone shooter before he could talk. That was in the 1960s, and from then, the label conspiracy theorist worked for decades as the means to make thinking people too scared to speak when they smelt a rat. Let 2024 be the year of clearing out the rubbish, the trash, the long overdue year when the past or sell-by date labels, conspiracy theorist among them, are cast into the dustbin of history.
So the labels continue to evolve. You know, Putin apologist, COVID denier, climate denier. Now we're called a new denier, anti-vaxxer. So is this something that is a way to erode our freedoms, to be critical of our government? And also personally, how do you take it? Because I don't take it well.
I think it has been effective up until relatively recent times. I think the effectiveness of seeking to dismiss questioning voices, dissenting voices, always as conspiracy theorists, or always to, if you've got questions about Ukraine, you know, to be a Putin apologist, to have questions about what ideology is being forced on the youngest of our children at schools, and you become transphobic automatically. If you have questions about the globalization and the influence of bankers, then you're automatically anti-Semitic. And I think it's becoming a worn out tune. I think it's becoming the case increasingly that these are badges of honor almost. And I think unless and until you've been through the process of being, you know, shamed or ridiculed or defamed in that way, then you're not really in the fight.
Right.
And if you have battle scars, well, fair play to you. You know, you and I were communicating offline before this conversation, you know, and I said there is that famous quote from Churchill who said, if you've made an enemy, well done, because it means you've stood up for something in your life. And I am now glad to stand shoulder to shoulder with those elsewhere who are routinely dismissed in this way. And conspiracy theorist is increasingly, you know, is just descriptive of someone who saw it first, an early adopter of the truth, as it were. And the time between being dismissed as a conspiracy theorist and being shown to have been right all along is collapsing. It's almost instantaneous. It's a bit like the first time you get a punch in the face, or the first time you get a physical blow. It's shocking, and in addition to the pain of the blow, it's the surprise. The more times you're called conspiracy theorist or Putin apologist or whatever, it's still uncomfortable, but the shock has gone. The surprise has gone. If I had my time again, you know, sometimes, my mum or might ask me from time to time, you know, if you had your time again, would you operate differently? You know, would you say the things that you said, you know, knowing what you know now? Absolutely, 100%. I wouldn't change a thing. Like you, I'm sure the process, the experience of standing up and asking questions and saying things has meant that I've lost a lot of relationships. A lot of people have turned away from me. But I've also had that void filled by a whole new cast of characters with whom I am increasingly pleased and proud to stand. So I think it's fine. I think it's all right to be under attack. You know, if you're taking flak, you're over the target, is another old adage, and it's demonstrably true.
Yeah, but one of my sort of New Year's resolutions is to have camaraderie with people like you, because it gets lonely sometimes, I will admit, and I don't take it quite as well all of the time. Sometimes I don't mind, and then sometimes it hits differently. And so it helps to have other voices like this, and you think, well, that sounds exceedingly reasonable when that person says it, so I feel a little bit better.
Don't get me wrong. Every punch hurts the same as every punch. It's not that it doesn't hurt. I've had the time to adapt and acclimatize. And it almost, what if the time comes when I'm not, you know, I periodically trend on Twitter and, you know, and I'm periodically the focus of news stories that are picked up by all the mainstream newspaper titles here in the UK. But if that stops happening, I'll get the sense that I've drifted off of target.
Right.
It's a timely reminder. Every time you get accused of conspiracy theory or anything else, it's a reminder that you're still there, that you must still be in the right area. You know, I think it's crucial that people realise that, you know, that tendency to that temptation to keep your head down. And to keep quiet, even though you know the truth and you know the right things that ought to be said, but people have to be prepared to take the responsibility to speak out, whether they have a platform or whether it's just in relation to friends and family and workmates, because groups go wrong, governments go wrong, communities go wrong, nation states go wrong. They drift from the, you know, they drift from the true path. And it's people within the group, it's their responsibility to fix it. You know, and you have to be prepared to step outside, you know, step beyond the pale, step out of the group and look back in and be prepared to be targeted as an enemy of the state, as a traitor, as a conspiracy theorist, because it's from that position that you're able to take up the job of pulling the group, helping, sharing the onerous responsibility of pulling the group back onto the right path. And it's uncomfortable. People, there's always a natural human tendency for people to want a quiet life. And also people want to be seen as nice. People want to be seen as nice. They get along, they rub along, they don't cause trouble. That is actually the antithesis of the right thing. If you stand mutely by while things that you know to be wrong are done and committed, then you are serving the wrong. And people have to get used to the discomfort of saying no and standing up and saying what you're proposing to do or what you are doing is wrong. And the fact that it makes you uncomfortable means it's the right thing. That's what you, when it's uncomfortable and it makes you, you know, lift your shoulders in expectation of a blow, you know, from who knows where, that's when you know you're doing the right thing.
Right. And, you know, I think that's why the Julian Assange case is so important, because so little of what he showed us was conspiracy theory. It was war crimes perpetuated by the US and the UK right in front of our very faces. There was no way to explain it away with conspiracy, so they had to persecute him personally because there was. And so one of the things you say in this video is the best way to protect yourself is to be a conspiracy theorist. Because then at least when you're told something, you question it. And then you don't swallow things that may hurt you, take medicines that may hurt you, and that kind of thing. I want to get you out of here on one more question. Of all of the narratives that we talked about here, the right to, question vaccines and pandemics, truths, gender, ideology, the war in Russia, which is the thing that you are maybe most worried about or passionate about? Well, let's put Julian Assange aside right now.
Well, even with Julian Assange in our sights at the moment, as what we're talking about, the thing I'm most worried about anyway is war. I cannot believe that we here in the UK, we've got senior military figures talking about the necessity for a citizen army. You know, retiring General Patrick Sanders, the army chief, has said that we need a citizen army. Now, that just transports me in my head back to the pictures of Kitchener and Your Country Needs You that were the run-up to, you know, 1915 and then 1916 and the catastrophe, the apocalyptic events of the first day of the Battle of the Somme, when that citizen army stepped out and 60,000 casualties were racked up by the British Army on that first day, 19,000 of them dead. That was a citizen army. And at least over 100 years ago, people had the excuse of not knowing what industrialised warfare would look like and what it would do and the toll that it would take. But we do know that. We have been learning, well, we were supposed to have been learning that lesson ever since. And that kind of saber rattling and that kind of talk of, following the beating drum and getting young people in particular. I've got two sons, and the very thought that somebody out with my control, you know, would even contemplate putting them into uniform and taking them to a front like is harvesting so many souls in Ukraine at the moment, fills me with absolute, you know, ungilded horror that this is where we are again. When everyone knows that, you know, that a citizen army thus deployed, you know, would be vaporized, you know, before it reached any front line, and that it all falls into what I've been talking about in other contexts for a long time now about the anti-human agenda. I think the powers that be, those that claim to lead us, treat us with contempt. and they treat human life with contempt. Everything, the net zero agenda is anti-human.
Yes.
So many of these objectives that have come to the fore in the last 4 years, mandated medical procedures, lockdowns, you know, talk of all the rest of it, the 15-minute cities, the social credit scores, the central bank digital currencies, they're anti-human. And just when you thought it couldn't get more anti-human, they actually raise the spectre of coming for our young people and putting them literally and physically into harm's way. So nothing has focused my attention and nothing has got me more determined to stand up and speak out than talk of war, forever war.
Yes. Well, for your children and for mine, I'm glad to know you now. I've been following your work for a long time. This is the first time we've spoken, and I was excited about it. I want to tell our audience you can follow Neil Oliver. He's at The Coast Guy on X, and he has, I believe it's weekly segments, right, on GB News.
Yes, every Saturday night I'm on GB News. And I also have my own podcast, my own channel, you know, through the week. So I put stuff out on YouTube and so on, and people can catch up with, keep up with me there. But okay. It's been lovely to talk to you, Natalie. I've been so excited by the prospect of talking to you, and I hope we can do it again.
Yes, please. You're welcome on Redacted anytime.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it, and we will see you next time, everyone.